Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
See, now I'm getting all these pissed off letters from Canadians. You never really know how many listeners you have in Canada until you start slagging on their culture. I'm not saying it's a bad culture. I'm just saying it's a little bland.
Oh, Canadian Bacon with Alan Alda's on tonight.
That's
and
the
John
worst.
Candy.
Oh, my God. Let's talk for a minute about the movie Canadian Bacon. First of all, let's talk about actual Canadian bacon. Is it from Canada? What is Canadian bacon made of? What part of the pig does it come from? Why is it called Canadian bacon?
Because they're Canadian pigs. It's just like American cheese slices in Canada are actually Canadian slices.
I don't understand.
Well, it's a geographical thing.
But I... Okay, so there's no...
I always thought Canadian bacon was just ham.
So is it just slang for thin ham?
It's Canadian cuisine.
Okay, but what is it, though? Look, there's the pig. You've got pork bellies, which are used to make bacon. And then you've got pork chops, which come from, I don't know, hindquarters or something. And then you've got brisket, which comes from wherever, and blah, 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 blah. But Canadian bacon comes from where? Or is Canadian bacon just ultra-thin ham that's been fried?
I don't know. I don't eat it.
Oh, that's right. You're a vegan. What the hell am I asking?
what a wasteful discussion that was. I do eat French toast, though.
It was a complete...
That's Canadian.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing there. Rick, Canadian content on the radio in Canada has been defunct for several years. Celine, born in Quebec, has spent more time in Vegas than Elvis, though. By the way, you forgot to mention that one of the best rock songs of all time, American Woman, was recorded by the guess who? A Canadian band. It's a dog. P.S. F. Matt with the True North. Strong and free.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Okay, but the weird thing is...
The True North is Alaska, Doug. Get over
it. Is it? Well, whatever. The thing is, this guy's... I won't say who he... Well, I've already said who he is. But I'm just saying he's emailing from Freightliner. But Freightliner's not in Canada, is it?
I would imagine they have a subsidiary in Canada. That's just going to make Canadian trucks.
Well, we would make them, and then we'll sell them to Canada.
Sounds like a better plan. I thought Freightliner was down over on Swan Island.
I thought Freightliner's all about representing the, you know, Oregon.
I think a lot of Freightliner guys got laid off not too long ago.
It's because we're exporting their jobs to Canada, where life is cheap. Grubby, swine-like Canadians taking our jobs. I'm not going to tolerate that sort of a thing. Not under an Emerson presidency. No. Freightliner's coming back home as soon as I take office. Lousy Canadians. Rick! What's with the hating on Canadian rock? You don't even get props to Loverboy. Yeah. Well, you're just going to have to live with that, Bill.
That statement sort of summed itself up, didn't it?
And then he says, F. Matt with the wreck of the Emmett Fitzgerald.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Okay. Let's see. More Canadian mail. God, just the freaking Canadians, man. How bored are you up there? That's Canada. It's Canada culture right there. Nothing to occupy your time but sitting and writing hate mail to a guy doing a show in another country.
It says here in the first 6 months of this year, more than twice as many American citizens filed for refugee status in Canada than all of 2001, beating Iraqis and Afghans.
All right. Anyway, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. I'm not trying to. I mean, we love our Canadian listeners. I'm just saying. You know, the proof of the pudding is under the crust. You know what I'm saying? The fact that you're listening to this radio program. I know you got radios up there in your own radio stations. You're listening to those? No. No, you're listening to a Yank. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just making the observation. All right, coming up this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about everybody's dirty little girl, Paris Hilton. She's now a dirty girl for the world. And I've got, like, the updates on Paris Hilton. I was saying earlier, they were coming a mile a minute. So we're going to talk about the latest things on the Paris Hilton front. We've got How Chicks Think with Kristen from Accounting today. Jolie returns from her vacation tomorrow. So today, the final non-Jolie segment of How Chicks Think. It's coming up with Kristen from Accounting later today. We got a Geek Watch on the way. And today's top five. Top five artists were embarrassed to have made stars. In honor of the defrocking of Millie Vanilli 12 years ago this week. This, however, is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, usually we don't care about the Robert Blake murder trial, but this is too fun to ignore it. His handyman has been formally released in the murder case. Apparently, there was evidence against Earl Caldwell. A written message found in his sport utility vehicle was considered key evidence. Here's what it said. The list included such items as shovels, duct tape, lye, pool acid, and the notation, get a blank gun ready.
But really.
But no, he's been dismissed.
No.
This is no evidence at all.
Well, that's like that Scott Peterson. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago where Scott Peterson was talking to, what's her name? Amber? Amber. Her name is Amber. I mean, come on. Amber Fry with the feathered hair. And she's, can you see me this week? No, but my wife's going to be dead in a couple weeks. So, you know, check back with me. And his attorneys are apparently trying to get that. He said something remarkably close to that anyway. And they're trying to get it stricken because they think it's irrelevant. That it has bears no relation to. It's immaterial to the case at hand.
Well, not everyone's fortunate enough to get Botox treatment for Christmas, as we just heard on many commercials in the past few minutes.
Nothing says holiday joy like botulism.
Well, get this. Milwaukee, Wisconsin postal workers found a live alligator. Yes, a 4-foot-long alligator chewed its way out of a shipping carton before a postal worker tossed it into a hamper and called animal control. Employees were sorting through the holiday mail and noticed an alligator chewing its way out of an express mailbox. They tried to duct tape it closed, but alligators can bite through duct tape. Make a notation of that.
Remember, run in a zigzagging motion.
Well, the nose was sticking out, and so were its teeth. So a coworker picked it up by the tail and threw it in a hamper. Now, you can send alligators in the mail. However, here are the rules. Alligators longer than 20 inches are not allowed to be sent through the mail. So you got to measure it before you box it up and mail it. And officials said the shipment from Milwaukee to Colorado is under review. So make sure those alligators stay under 20 inches.
And that's one to grow on. We have this from Marty in Canada. Rick, first I must apologize for Celine Dion. I had no part in making her. Now to the point. We do get South Park here, we just don't get them when they are new. Oh, so it's like us with The Office, you know, because the BBC gets The Office like a year before we do. You're correct, however, about Canadian content laws for radio. They suck. American content is the best by far, and it's really aggravating. You rule, Marty in Canada. So there you go. So that's what I'm saying. So we can actually see the stamp of approval from a Canadian. Let's see, Greg on a cell phone. What's up, brother?
Hey, all hail the beautiful Sarah. First of all, I want to apologize because about 10 or 15 of those Canadians are the direct result of me spreading the word.
Yeah, well, okay. I'll let it slide.
Okay, and then Canadian bacon is actually back bacon. American-style bacon, the strips, this actually comes from the belly. And I want to out-geek Aaron someday because I think I can do it. So ask Matt with the head of Aaron.
What do you like?
In the city.
What do you like, calling him out or something?
Oh, yeah, Aaron is the man when it comes to geeks. The only person that is a bigger geek and probably, you know, as far as knows more, is probably you. That's why, Aaron, you know, you're the king of all geeks and then be Aaron. So, you know, you got to shoot for number two before you go for number one.
So he's sort of the preliminary round before you decide to take me down?
Oh, yeah, come on, because, you know, face it, you know, you are the man.
So
this
you're
is the reason why it's called the Rick Emerson Show and not, you know, the Matt Peterson Show, because God help us when that happens.
Yeah, well, that's undoubtedly being worked on behind my back. But you want to have, like, a geek-off?
Oh, yeah, with Aaron. Heck yeah, Aaron's awesome, you know?
All right, okay.
It doesn't get much better than that. Right. And F. Matt with the head of Aaron. Right.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Weird phone call.
The geek gauntlet has been thrown.
Such a weird freaking people listen to this show. Joe in Detroit, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
What do you got?
Freightliner is owned by Daimler Chrysler Corporation and has been for about 10 years.
Okay.
They do most of their manufacturing down in the Carolinas and in Ontario. Very little left out in Portland there.
And so they're exporting it all from this country. They're just moving it on out.
Yeah. A lot done there. Basically, Daimler Chrysler has become the major truck player in the world. Volvo's the other one that gives them some competition. PACCAR is slightly behind them.
All right, so it's all kind of been moved around. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
I guess okay. There you go. That makes
just,
sense.
You know, big companies buying everything up is what it comes down to.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, they're all going to end up working for Clear Channel at some point. You know, it's going to be you're going to be driving like a Clear Channel, you know, Lexus at some point. You're gonna
everything's going to be in the big Quonset hut.
Yeah, you'd be buying a Clear Channel BMW. It doesn't matter, man. All right, that's Joe in Detroit. Here's Tim Riley.
Why don't Americans make Canadian bacon? And why was it a Canadian discovery?
I don't know. Let's forget that we ever started having the big discussion about it.
Let's talk about the 31st Annual American Music Awards, which were presented in L.A. last night. We have some of the highlights here. Among those, let's see here, we have Jimmy Kimmel explaining the ceremony's rules.
For your own safety, do not get between the Dixie Chicks and Toby Keith. And no thanking God. God does not watch television. And if he did, he would not be watching this show.
Members of Linkin Park, who spelled their name incorrectly, thank co-nominees Metallica and Coldplay in accepting their alternative music favorite artist trophy.
We'd definitely like to thank Coldplay and Metallica, first of all.
It's a tough crowd to be involved with right there, so.
Yeah, but definitely we're fans of those two groups.
Fleetwood Mac's first album in 15 years, yes, we said 15, Save You Will, propel the 37-year-old band. Is that right?
37, well, yeah, because they've had, like, they're one of those bands that's had, like, 900 members.
Oh, my goodness. To a favorite pop and rock band win, appearing live via satellite, like Goldie Hawn did here, to accept the trophy. Lindsey Buckingham says he's grateful for the fan support.
We'd just like to thank everyone who supported our album and our tour this year. We're really in the best place creatively that we've ever been.
Right, right. Our new album's the best thing we've ever done. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all right.
Missy Elliott won for favorite rap female artist. The only problem was when her name was announced, she was nowhere to be found in the theater. Why? She arrived late because somebody stole her limousine.
Someone stole the limousine from your home?
From the hotel.
Oh, from the hotel.
Yes.
And did they steal the driver with it?
Nah, the driver came back.
I see. Now, are you going to need a ride home after the show or anything?
Yeah, I need a ride home. Can somebody give me back to the hotel, please?
Who wouldn't? Kid Rock is grateful for winning whatever he won.
I always wanted to win something. Our first option would have been the lotto. But,
Anyway, that's the American Music.
All right, so there you go. That new Kid Rock album is really good, by the way. I'm not really sure that it's... I don't really know that I put it above Cocky at this point, but the new Kid Rock, self-titled, which is really good. There's a great song with Sheryl Crow on there, and he has a song... I don't think I brought it with me today. I think I left it at home. But he has a song on there that co-wrote with David Allan Coe, a song called Single Father, which, to the best of my knowledge, is an original. I don't think it's a cover or anything, but it looks like he wrote it with David Allan Coe. It's a great song. Just a fantastic song. That if it had a slightly, if they put out like a different mix of it, they put out a slightly more country mix, it'd be a gigantic hit. I mean, it'd be a monster hit. Don, you're a full-time listener. Downtown, what's up, Don?
Dude, went to the movie this weekend, saw, Master and Commander, awesome flick.
Okay.
But before it, they had the previews for the Battlestar Galactica. Oh my god, dude.
Which
looks nice.
Yeah. I'm not really sure that I don't know that that's something I need to see remade.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know, man. This constant strip mining of my childhood by Hollywood is something that I have kind of very strong mixed feelings about.
They still got the Vipers though.
Yeah. All right. But you say, how was it? Was it a full trailer or was it just sort of a teaser?
No, it was a full on going into it trailer. It was a good 2-3 minutes.
Right.
It was good.
How was that Russell Crowe movie?
You know what? Say what you will about Russell Crowe, but it was a great movie.
Yeah.
It really was.
Russell Crowe's kind of one of those guys that I liked a lot when he first came out, but it's like it became apparent so quickly that he's just a big a-hole that it kind of became, it grew difficult to separate him from his a-hole behavior, you know? And so I just kind of quit going to see his films because I didn't want to give him any more of my money. So, I don't know. I'll have to reassess my stance on him. All right, when does that Battlestar Galactica thing come out?
I think it comes out December 8th on the Sci-Fi Channel, of course.
All right. Okay.
But even though it's Sci-Fi Channel, I know, it still looks like a good series.
All right. Excellent. All right. There you go. There's Don Downtown with the word on Battlestar. By the way, you want to hear something interesting. Talk to Clyde sometime about Battlestar Galactica, man. Clyde will just go on for hours and hours about how Battlestar Galactica is really just thinly veiled Mormon propaganda. One of these days, we'll have Clyde come on and talk about it. Clyde can give you like a point-by-point dissertation, go on for like 90 minutes, about how Battlestar Galactica is really just a backdoor way to convert the youth of America to Mormonism. It's true. Here's Tim Riley.
There's been no better time for a Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch.
The high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasars Unlimited, I remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
There it does.
Puppy star Anthony Head was voted in a poll of Radio Times readers in London as the favorite to play the next Doctor Who. Head, who plays Giles in the cult U.S. television series. Giles? Giles?
Giles.
Giles. But it has a G.
I'm sorry.
Giles.
I didn't create the character. It's Giles.
All right. Buffy the Vampire Slayer beat Alan Rickman in second place. I suppose it would be a logical choice to play the Doctor just because. Giles, my character in Buffy, has the same light and dark side and quirkiness as Doctor Who, says Mr. Head. Canadian Stephen Fry and Alan Davies were third and fourth, and actor Ian Richardson was fifth. The BBC has not announced who will play the sci-fi legend, but British media say Richard E. Grant, Bill Nye, and Eddie Izzard...
Bill Nye!
...are also being considered.
Bill Nye is Doctor Who. All right. Eddie Izzard was who I had heard that it was. I had heard they'd offered it to Eddie Izzard. We got my man Nate at the WB. Oh, and our friend Siegfried tipped me up. They both, like in 2 minutes. Sometimes, here's a weird email phenomenon. I don't know if this happens to y'all. If you're checking your inbox, and it's like within the space of about 10 minutes or something, you know, or like a day or whatever, it's one period of time, you will get the same thing sent to you by like 12 different people, all of whom are unrelated to one another. Do you know what I mean? It's like you'll get like the same picture of Britney Spears or the same story about like a, you know, some zany, you know, hero pup story. Like, you know, some dog that rescues his family from a snowdrift or something. And you'll get it sent to you by a bunch of different people. Within the space of about 5 minutes a few weeks ago, I got like 9 different people who sent me this thing saying that Eddie Izzard was going to be cast as Doctor Who. But apparently, I would have no quarrel with Anthony Stewart Head doing that, though. I'd be okay with that. There's your Geek Watch, by the way, from Monday.
By Grafdar's Hammer, by the Sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous
mix. But, I mean,
mix.
I wouldn't quibble with Alan Rickman either, man. Alan Rickman, you know, Alan Rickman's one of those guys. I just see that guy as anything. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you cast Alan Rickman as. I'll approve of that. Okay, we've got the final word on Canadian bacon when we come back. And then we're never going to talk about it again, ever. It's not going to be a thing we ever discuss. You know, the funny part about this Canadian bacon thing... Okay, I'm going to write it down so we don't forget. I mean, it's a Canadian bacon. All right. This is like some weird Japanimation version of the song or something. As the space cruiser Yamato goes towards Ishtar... No, Iskandar. Whatever. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, see, and immediately there's the letter from Aaron. Like, I read the Doctor Who thing. We're not even done reading the story. Can I just tell you this, by the way? And I don't want to give away the game for anybody. I'm just going to tell you that. I'll put it this way. You, me, all of us, we're paying Aaron's salary. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to give anything away. I don't get anybody in trouble. I'm just going to say that Aaron's salary is paid by the good men and women within the sound of my voice. All of us being bent over and greased up just a little bit every 15 days to pay that guy's salary. And so what's being done with that money? His internet connection at his government job being used simply and solely to send me big scathing letters about Doctor Who. We weren't even done with the story. We're like a sentence and a half into it. And I get... Like, there must be some time shift thing going on, because it's like by the time we finish the story, I've got a 15-paragraph screed from him sitting in the inbox. I mean, it's like he hears the story, like he's got spidey sense or something. Like, he starts typing the response to it before we've even read it. Doesn't make any sense. All right. Well, in any event, here's the traffic with Sarah.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 1:26. I'm Tim Riley. Steve Martin plays the chairman, the cartoonish bad guy of the hit film Looney Tunes, back in action. Steve, tell us about your character, the chairman, won't you?
He's certainly an egomaniac, and he's kind of vulnerable, too. Strange. You know, he thinks he's pretty handsome. And he's always trying to, you know, a couple of things where he tries to... I think there's one line they used where he says, I know I'm hot. And, you know, he's also a frustrated businessman, you know, when things aren't going his way. He gets a little frustrated. He has to watch how the money is spent. You know, it's hard being an evil empire runner, is, I guess, what it is.
Talk about playing the bad guy and why it's more fun than playing the regular Joe.
The bad guy's always much more fun than the good guy, especially in a comedy. There's just something, you know, you get to play evil, and it's kind of delicious. It's not all the, you don't have to be so nice all the time. You know, you can be more extreme.
Let me just say this about Looney Tunes, by the way, that I spent the entire week, and more people heard me complain about this than really would seem to be socially advisable, but I spent all weekend getting, and I had, like, tasks, you know, like you have a task list of stuff you're going to get done. But I'd started off on, like, Friday night, I had this, you know, my palm, and I, you know, my to-do list, and, like, 75 things I had to do. I had to go here, I had to go to the post office, I had to go mail a polar bear to somebody. I had to do all this stuff, right? And I had to do all these things. And as I'm out and about accomplishing things on my to-do list, every time I would pass some, you know, I'd pass like a Borders, or I'd pass CD Game Exchange, or I would just have to fight off the urge to go buy that Looney Tunes DVD box set, just with everything in me. It just took every ounce of willpower and self-control I had not to go in and buy that. And I just fighting, just having to dig in my heels, because the thing is, if I know if I can wait about 4 weeks, I'll go in, you know, I'll get it for Christmas, and then I won't have to have, you know, paid money. And so it's sort of like my lack of self-control and my lack of patience having to fight against my inherently cheapskate nature, because it's like $50, but I can save that $50 if I'm willing to wait and get, you know, and just ask for it as a Christmas present. It's one of those things. It was a gigantic internal struggle all weekend long not to buy that.
Well, Southern Drawls have thwarted voice recognition equipment used by the Shreveport Police Department to route non-emergency calls. A switch over to a low-tech touchtone system, which callers hear a voice recording they can respond to by pushing a different number for each division, is scheduled for Monday. The voice recognition system asked people to name the person or department they wanted. More often than not, the system didn't understand what they were saying, so they ended up at the wrong place. In Louisiana, there's a problem with Southern drawl. It's what's called lazy mouth. Because of that, the system didn't recognize what the callers were saying.
Lazy brain.
He says he can count on one hand when he's been transferred, the police chief, to where he wanted to go, and he knows the system. He cannot imagine how frustrating it would be for a citizen with a Southern drawl.
It's so hard not to think of people with that accent as being dumb. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying when you hear, and you know you do this, when you hear somebody that is talking and they're doing it, yeah, the y'all come back now, you hear, and you know intellectually that they're not stupid just because they've got that accent, but it's so difficult. That's why people spend all that time trying to cover it up, you know? And there's all, it's like when you hear people from, it's like you hear people from Minnesota, and they got that, you know, that full-on Fargo accent, and it's like you don't want to smirk and you don't want to make laugh of it. It's like hearing Canadians say a boot, and you know it's not something you should make fun of.
And Al Gore gets a stronger Southern accent when he's speaking the Southern state.
He does. Well, but I think all of us do. It's like, you know, it's like Madonna. Madonna goes and hangs out there, and she just suddenly, it's because she's just such a zealot type figure that she just immediately starts to emulate whoever she's in a room with. She's just, it's this sort of cultural mirror. And so you put her, you know, amongst a bunch of Brits, and she just starts to, starts to do that. Same thing. I mean, at least Gore's from the South, though. At least he's got that going on for him.
Hey, the same thing happens when you're talking to relatives back east. All of a sudden, you get a Boston or a New York accent back again.
You don't have a much of a New England accent.
Not that much anymore, but if I'm talking to people back there, suddenly I get it back again.
The only thing you do is that you do the R instead of a W, you know?
Yeah.
Like you do the drawer instead of a draw or something. That's all you do. Kristen does that sometimes. If Kristen's back in, like, Massachusetts, man,
right,
she'll come back and she's got the full Kennedy thing
going on. Or we have aunts. We don't have aunts.
Right, exactly. But there's no... Somebody told me, and this is... I forget who this was. Somebody told me a couple months ago, I was talking to somebody about this. And I was talking about how there's a Utah accent. Because if you go to Salt Lake, you know, there's people that have got this accent. I can't really explain it or describe it, but there is a Utah accent. But she was claiming that there's an Oregon accent. And she was claiming that she can tell what part of Oregon somebody's from.
How about measure, I've heard people say here, instead of measure.
Measure?
I've heard Dave Paul and Mark Marshall, who are Oregon natives, say measure.
There are people, instead of measure. There are people in Washington, I used to be one of them, who say miracle instead of miracle. Coming from Kennewick, that got correct. When I moved to Utah, that got corrected. I used to say miracle with an A, which I catch every so often. I'll catch somebody else doing that. I'll hear somebody go, well, it's a miracle that, and you know, and then I guess you know they're from Washington or something. But she claimed that there were like four distinct Oregon accents, and she'd grown up here her whole life, and that depending on how someone talks, she could tell you what part of Oregon state they were from. And you wonder if that's just sort of made up or if that's actually true, because I'm not from here, and I've never noticed that. I don't know. I got nothing.
Well, it's going to keep writing. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The Star Force has just 1 year to make it to Ishtar.
I keep saying Ishtar. Iskandar and back, before Earth is completely covered with Gamelon radiation. Can the Star Force do it? There are now just 212 days remaining. There's like 14 people out there that know what I'm talking about. But to those 14 people, that's the coolest thing they've heard on the radio all month. You know what I'm talking about. All right. That's a Northwest thing, by the way. This growing up watching Star Blazers on television is one of those things that I know people from the rest of the country had no idea what Star Blazers are. They got nothing. They got no Star Blazers knowledge. And so I don't know if it was just because KSTW out of Seattle played it. That's where I watched it. Growing up in Kennewick, we got KSTW, which is Channel 11 out of Seattle. And every morning at like 7:30, they would play Star Blazers, which is like this. It's like an animated serial cartoon. Somebody
here in Portland played it too, because I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, but I meet people from like California and like Florida and whatnot. They had no idea what Star Blazers did, but it's all over the Northwest. There was that. We've got this. You knew this was coming from Aaron, Geek in the City. Subject line, what's that a boot? Rick, I've got 103 fever and can barely see straight right now, but he says, I did not just hear a challenge from the Great White North. The only way that bitch can take me is if all the questions are about Howie Mandel and Degrassi Junior High. That punk. And he signs it, Aaron, the real geek in the city, P.S. F. Matt with mouse, a bottle of Elsinore beer.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
I'm just passing the information along, brother. I'm not trying to get in the middle of y'all. You can just sort that out your own self. I don't want to get in the middle of some weird geek crossfire. Or something going on. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. The freaking Battlestar Galactica emails are just pouring in. I'm going to choose not to read them, by the way. So all of these
wise.
Battlestar Galactica emails, those are kind of all going to be unread. So you're just going to have to, at least on the air, you're just all going to have to be okay with that. Okay, we got all this Paris Hilton stuff we're going to get to, but let me just make this quick point about Canadian bacon, and then we're going to be done with it. I had all this Canadian bacon email coming in, and here's the deal with Canadian bacon. The deal with Canadian bacon is that it is apparently just a specific cut of ham, and it's a bit like, let's see, where the hell is it? I had some explanation. He was comparing it to some sort of beef tenderloin type product. Oh, now it's gone. Now you're going to have to wait while I find the Canadian bacon email. Here we go. He says, Canadian bacon is ham. Said, you only have Canadian bacon in America. No one in Canada calls it Canadian bacon. Canadian bacon equals bacon. He says, Canadian bacon tastes like ham and is much leaner than American bacon. It's made from pork loin that's been smoked and cured. I like my word better. He says, note that Irish bacon is sometimes also called back bacon, which is Canadian bacon. Substitutes, Irish bacon or ham or pancetta or bacon. Wasn't that fascinating? Aren't you glad you know that now? The whole reason we got into this discussion, by the way, about Canadian bacon is because the movie Canadian Bacon, starring Alan Alda and John Candy, is on tonight. Canadian Bacon, written and directed by Michael Moore, it is, without a doubt, hands down, the worst major motion picture ever made in the history of the medium. And I know we've said that about some other things in the past, but I got to tell you, and it's not even bad in a way that's entertaining. It's got an interesting concept, sort of a wag the dog type film, but it starts Alan Alda as a president who, in order to distract from a sex scandal, I believe, decides to invade Canada. Sounds like a funny idea, right? How could you lose? America invades Canada. Ha ha. It's terrible. And what makes it even more terrible is the fact that it was made by Michael Moore in some really ill-advised stab at fiction writing, you know, at some comedy, you know, fiction masterpiece that he thought he was creating, and it's just terrible. I mean, it's terrible. It's absolutely hands-on terrible, so never watch it in any way. I don't even care if you want to watch it because you're looking for something that's, you know, you're looking for something that's awful to amuse yourself with in the front, and I just skip it, man. Just skip it all the way. Just don't even want to watch that at all. All right. Coming up later on this hour, we got How Chicks Think with Kristen from Accounting, and we got today's top five coming up later on. Top five artists that we're embarrassed to have supported and made stars because of Milli Vanilli, who were unmasked 12 years ago this week as not being the voices behind their singing. We got more on the way. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. We'll return after this. Don't go anywhere.
live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
So did you burn me a copy of that thing you were supposed to this weekend?
Remember
the difficulty that I was having opening
Oh, you're talking about the Paris Hilton thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, despite my entreaties to people not to send me porn, you know, well, that particular... You can send me all the pornography you want, but I was just saying I already had that, and so it was, you know, there's no real need to send me additional copies of the Paris Hilton video. Unless you've got Paris Hilton footage that I haven't seen, I'm more than willing to accept that. I'm just saying, it, at this point, it's redundant if you're sending me the, you know, the 4.5 minute green, you know, green night vision Paris Hilton porn. That was... For reasons that I don't have time to explain right now, I don't really have it for you. We'll talk about that, actually, a bit when we get back. We'll give you the story when we return. Here's the traffic.
Still.
Call now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, arg. Rick, Canadians never say a boot. I've lived in Canada and have never heard a boot. It's an American invention, much like Canadian bacon. I also apologize for Celine Dion. But we do lend you Shania Twain now and again, so I hope she makes up for
it. You can have her back.
Yeah, I was going to say, not as, yeah, she didn't make up for it as much as you might think. She'd make up for it if she was here nude, pleasuring me. Other than that, pretty much no. That's James in Canada. There you go. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, so we were talking about Britney, but that the Britney thing sort of... The Britney thing is an ongoing deal. We're going to talk about that later on. But I wanted to mention this. I wanted to mention all this Paris Hilton news that's been just flooding into here. It's like, can I just tell you this? Like a month ago, I'd never heard of this chick. I had no idea who Paris Hilton was until Richard Nunn pointed her out. We were at Man Night. I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago, something like that. And we're standing there in Trey's kitchen, and I'm there drinking some of Hay's gay hazel chocolate, you know, coffee or whatever that. Whatever it is, man, it's like gay in a cup. You know, I don't even know. They ought to just, you know, they ought to just call it that. What's this, gay bean? You know, which she had again on Friday, by the way. I've been going there for like a year and a half. I mean, I know he must know where the regular coffee is. Like, he goes to the supermarket, he must know they make it, right? Anyway. So it's like,
you're not the demo he's serving, though,
hey,
with that coffee.
But I wasn't alone, man, because we went to poker on Friday. It's me and Matt's there, but Lo was there, too, right? And so Lo's like, oh, damn it, I'm tired. Do you have some coffee? And Trey's like, yeah, sure, just brewed some. Pours Lo a big cup of the coffee. One drink, you know, and what's the first round of, damn, man, this is the gayest coffee I've ever had. So it's not just me. I'm not alone there. All right, anyway. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so Richard Nunn, like 6 weeks ago, he has a copy of Us Weekly or whatever, and it's got a picture of Paris Hilton looking all skeezed out, and Richard Nunn's like, oh, what I do to that? You know, and so we had this whole discussion, because I'd never even heard who she was. And then, of course, the sex tape comes out. So we've got three different stories here about the Paris Hilton thing, which I will get to, and then we're going to roll another edition of How Chicks Think with Christopher from Accounting. But first, we get this is from E! Online. Paris Hilton sued for sex tape slander. First the sex tape is a rumor, then it was on the net, now the lawsuits have begun. Rick Solomon, Paris Hilton's infamous ex-boyfriend and amateur porn co-star, fired the first salvo in the sex tape scandal this week, suing the Hilton family for slander and Seattle internet porn company Marvad Corporation for distributing the video illegally. Rick Solomon is seeking damages of $10 million from the Hiltons and their publicist, claiming devastating effects from their, quote, shady behind-the-scenes maneuvers. Solomon, whose naked body and sexual techniques are now familiar to millions of internet porn viewers, is sore over claims that Hilton was an unwilling participant in the duo's... Yeah, unwilling participant. Come on, Christ almighty. I mean, have you seen the video? She's doing everything but putting on a beret and getting a folding chair and directing. All right, anyway. Okay, that's the first one. Here's the second story. Paris Hilton's been a busy girl, says the New York Post. The hotel heiress has apparently made numerous tapes of her raunchy sexcapades, Hilton's friends told the New York Post. The source said he discovered a secret cache of sex videos 2 months ago when he visited the home of a friend to her former sex partner, Rick Solomon. He said, I put 10 of them in the video player. Saw 20 seconds of each before getting the picture. There's a whole catalog of tapes. But the thing is, Rick Solomon's lawyer says there's only one starring his client. There's only one that's got him in there. So now here's the next part. Here's the final third of this. There allegedly exists a tape of Paris Hilton having a threesome with then best friend Playboy playmate Nicole Lenz and her boyfriend at the time, former MTV VJ Simon Rex. So apparently now, she doesn't have the one out with Rick Solomon. There's apparently some tape of her and some playmate and Simon Rex. Simon Rex, didn't he done a bunch of gay porn too? Isn't that his thing that he got in, wasn't that his scandal about a year ago that he was in a bunch of gay porn? Anyway, okay, but the best slash worst part of this entire thing is that the original tape that started the entire thing, the original Hilton Solomon tape, has been returned to the Hilton family after Paris Hilton claimed she was a minor when making it. Which, if true, by the way, means that we're all pedophiles, every one of us, and you want to go home and start cleaning your computer right now. So if that's true, so this is the reason I did not duplicate that and bring this into work for you today, Sarah. Because
that makes sense.
I mean, I'm not saying she was a minor there, and she looks to certainly be enjoying herself. So, I mean, I'm not saying she's a minor. It doesn't look like any minor I ever hung out with. All I'm saying is she claims that she was underage when she made it. So, you know.
I don't know. I've read numerous articles dating it to when she was 19.
I don't know. I've devoted a lot of brain power to backdating it. And to trying to think of how old she would have been. And it seems to me that she would have been like 19 at the youngest.
I don't think you have anything to worry about.
So I'm just saying,
though. On the off chance that she was underage,
yeah.
Does that mean that whoever has jurisdiction is going to file charges against Solomon?
I would. I don't know. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah, all right. So there you go. So it's time for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Jolie continues her 3-day sabbatical today. She'll be returning tomorrow. In her stead, we have the lovely and talented Kristen from accounting who joins us. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
All right. You seen the Paris Hilton tape?
You know, I really haven't because at work, you know, I don't have a computer at home. I get all my information at work on my computer. And we have one of those pesky little, you know, things that won't...
Like a firewall?
A filter, yeah.
We don't have that here.
Won't allow us to get that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we... Well, I was saying on Friday that I didn't view it here because, you know, I don't want to be downloading porn at work. So I was like, no, go ahead and download it here. We've got the great connection.
Although, can I tell you, I still get plenty of spam mail about how to enlarge my penis size.
Yeah.
But...
Well,
can't
if
get the
all your problems would be solved, if you could do it, you'd never need to leave the house or, you know, wouldn't have to put up with men's crap anymore.
That would work out pretty well.
If you
right
suddenly just had your own penis, all your problems would be solved. Think of it, you know, you wouldn't have to deal with the rest of the pesky mail that comes along with it.
And you know, no, I won't go there.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I was going to talk about the yoga and having this. Anyway.
Well, you're pretty flexible.
Exactly my point. Right. I wouldn't need another person.
All right. So today's email comes to it, and it's a long and winding road, this email. But what it basically comes down to is, it's a guy named Brent. And Brent says, like you before the big gay makeover, I'm a mess. I'm out of shape, I don't know how to dress, and I think my hair probably makes me look pretty stupid. But of course, being a straight man in Portland, I have no idea how to fix any of these problems, so I'm going to focus on one thing at a time. Can you please tell me what is the most important external thing to focus on, and what thing should I fix first so the girls will pay attention to me?
Well, you know, this is a tough one because he doesn't say specifically. I mean, he mentions the hair might be bad, but
he's basically asking what's the first thing you notice that he should work on?
Well, and see, the thing is, and again, I cannot speak for all women, but I think what it comes down to is women are more about an attitude. And as long as you're well kept, I mean, if you've taken a shower and
you wash your ass,
as long as you don't have some kind of stench coming off your body, you know, because we've seen it time and time again. You see these gorgeous women walking around with guys that aren't all that great looking. Yeah. So there's something there. But if I had to concentrate on one of the things he said there, probably his hair. I mean, if he knows his hair is kind of stupid looking,
yeah.
Well, then that's something easily fixed.
Because, and here's why the hair is a good thing to fix, because it doesn't require any thought on his part.
No.
He just has to go into it, and don't go to Supercuts.
No, please
for the love
don't.
Of God.
Spend
don't.
A little bit of money and go to a barber or to a salon even,
yeah.
And get it done right.
And that's coming from a man, I speak from experience, and that's I'm saying that because I spent a long time going to Supercuts, like a tool. Didn't know what I was doing. Go to Bishop's. That's where everybody goes now. Go to Bishop's. They got a location on Hawthorne. It's cheap. They got hot chicks there, and they've got the and they'll give you they'll give you a Pabst while
you
they're cutting your hair.
Pabst.
They'll give
you
a PBR while they're cutting.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
But because and it's easy to get a good haircut because you know it's not like
because you don't have to do it. Somebody else knows what they're doing.
Well, plus you don't have to worry about having a coif. You know what I mean? Like you don't need the big 80s hair or anything. Like you can just do the really close cut. I mean, depending on how he looks physically. You know, there's a lot of different things you can do, and it's not going to be too difficult to find something flattering.
All right. So that's, fix your hair, and then, I don't know, and then just like, shave and, like, wash and whatnot, you know?
Well,
I mean, it's a lot easier than you would think.
That's what I'm saying. Women, really, I don't think the looks are as important as men like to think they are.
All right,
as long as you're, yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side. We got today's top five coming up as well. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
201, I'm Tim Bradley. Timberline has announced plans to open Thursday after weekend snow and continued snowfall blanketed the ski area with more than 2 new feet of snow. Also, the U.S. Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth says that environmentalists and forest managers have to work together to prevent forest fires. Bosworth is in Portland today, giving an opening speech to a 3-day conference to better assess wildfire risk. The Siskiyou National Forest today released its preferred plan for salvaging timber after the Biscuit Fire burned 500,000 acres in southern Oregon last year. The plan calls for more than 500,000 board feet that would generate $250 million in sales. Rainy and breezy today, highs in the 50s, rain likely tonight. And tomorrow as well, Tim Riley, KOTK News.